Welcome to Business Ninjas, brought to you by Right For Me, where you'll hear from business leaders who are out there growing their business and slaying it every day. Learn from the masters. Let's get started.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Business Ninjas. I'm here today with David Firth, CEO at DataBlend. David, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I appreciate you spending some time with us on Business Ninjas. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and about DataBlend.
A little bit about myself. I'm a guy who grew up in the New York metropolitan area and started out my career, interestingly enough, which most people might not think is possible when they hear what I'm doing today. But I actually started out in the construction industry, working for the world's largest general builder, a company called Turner Construction, Andrew. And after about 8 years there, I ended up as the head of IT for Turner. And so it's sort of the first exposure that I had where business and technology come together. And ever since then, have really leaned into that. I went to do some consulting work in that arena for a little while. I left to go join my first software startup back in the end of 1999 and haven't looked back since. Today, I am the CEO of a software company in the integration space called DataBlend.
Excellent. And what's the origin story of DataBlend? When did they come to be?
Yeah, so it was founded by a guy by the name of Ethan Carlson. And Ethan Carlson was the leading reseller globally of a software product called Adaptive Insights at the time. Today, Adaptive Insights is owned by Workday. But Adaptive is a budgeting and planning software product, Andrew. And so if you think about an effective budgeting and planning application, it's great if you have a budget, but you need to be able to compare that to your actuals. And so Ethan developed a product, which today is called DataBlend, to be able to take information out of ERP systems and accounting systems to be able to load those actuals into it. And it didn't matter whether or not that accounting system was a cloud-based application or an on-prem system. He wanted to have an efficient way of getting that information over, and that's sort of how we got started. The first release of the product actually, and I'll call it more of a tool at the time, was actually goes back to 2015, but it wasn't really until sort of 2019, 2020 that the application in its current form was released.
Excellent. And at this point, what verticals are you servicing with this tool and this platform?
So a little bit, it's not so much a vertical play for us as much as it is a horizontal one. And so we are a unique in the integration space, Andrew, in the sense that we target the Office of Finance and Accounting and being able to orchestrate and help the movement of data across the growing tech stack that CFOs and their teams really rely on. And specifically finance and accounting teams within SMB organizations. Primarily, I'd say, if we have a marketing dollar to spend, we're going to spend it going after a company that's got somewhere between 50 and 1,000 employees.
And obviously your platform is agnostic, but are there any particular industries that this speaks to more than others?
I would say at the highest level, most of our work is on the services side of the economy. So industries that are in the services business, less so than sort of manufacturing and distribution. Although we're going to slowly start to see some demand there from some new offerings that are coming out with some of our big partners.
Excellent. And what are the most common problems you're solving for your clients with this?
Well, so going back to the comment that I made a few minutes ago, right? We live in a world today of sort of what's called best-in-class software, right? So companies can choose the applications that make the most sense around solving a particular problem. So it could be your accounting software. It could be your CRM or your billing software. It could be your budgeting and planning software, like I was describing earlier. So you can imagine that in any department, and I'm sure most people that are listening would be accustomed to the fact that whatever department they're working on, they're relying on multiple applications. And so the problem that broadly our category of software, which is called IPaaS, Integration Platform as a Service, solves is helping integrate and sort of orchestrate the flow of data across those different technology applications that those folks are relying on. So anything having to do with the movement of data, in our case, around order to cash, procure to pay, and reporting is kind of the world in which we operate.
Understood. You know, digital transformation is the buzzword of the day. You got to level the playing field before you can play in it.
Yeah, listen, I mean, if you think about so the problem that we're actually solving, particularly in smaller to medium-sized businesses, is that almost any application that you rely on today has the ability to export and import data, right? And so lots of the folks that come to us are doing it manually, right? And it's not particularly efficient. And going back to sort of this digital transformation, having real-time information to be able to make, you know, good decisions, you can't have latency in your data. And if you're doing it manually, it's just sort of inherent that you're going to have latency there. So even if you're really good at it, chances are, just because of bandwidth, you know, you might only be able to do that export import, you know, let's say once a week, as opposed to being able to do it once a day. And you can imagine the difference that would make in terms of having good data to make decisions around.
Absolutely.
Or something as simple as to get your invoices out the door in a more consistent and regular basis. So there's a lot of value from integrating all these different applications.
Understood. And what is the biggest differentiator for you? What makes you stand out from your competition?
Two things. One is we're the only provider that's focused specifically on serving the needs of the finance and accounting community. So there's lots of IPaaS providers out there, many, too many, but none who sort of speak the language of debits and credits and really understand kind of what these integrations are about. That's one. Going back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, really serving the needs of SMBs, we also understand, because of that focus, that there's not a lot of money to be spent here. And if it's too expensive, that they'll just keep doing manually and it's sort of, you know, sub-optimizing. So from the outset, we've been very focused on trying to provide a low-cost solution, though, that has all the robustness of an enterprise IPaaS. And so that, you know, those two things are sort of cost of entry as well as our focus of finance and accounting.
Excellent. Let's switch gears for a second. Tell me about the challenges and opportunities of growing a business through the COVID years.
Yeah, I mean, for us, so I joined, it's an interesting question for me relative to DataBlend. I mean, so I, my first, so I knew Ethan Carlson, the founder, and Ethan hired me and a colleague of mine to do some consulting to sort of look at DataBlend as a product and evaluate kind of what the market opportunity was. And that was actually at the end of 2020. Huh. At the time, and we put together a go-to-market strategy, we realized that we kind of had a tiger by the tail, or that Ethan had a tiger by the tail at the time. There was this huge need for the product, Andrew. And so I joined full-time in April of 2021. When I joined, there were five of us. For us, it was kind of interesting. At the time, we had an office in Woburn, Massachusetts that nobody was going to, obviously, back then. Decided that there was really a great opportunity to grow the business. COVID accelerated the pace of adoption of cloud-based software. So it in theory, created demand for a product like ours. We've grown since I joined in April of 2021, from five to 30 people over the course of time. And so for us, what COVID actually allowed us to be able to do is more easily hire people in sort of this virtual way, find good talent where they were and have an operating model and an organizational model that allowed us to do that successfully. And paying attention to how do we create a culture, in that kind of environment, and how do we sort of stay in touch and in this virtual world in which we operate. So it's for us. I don't know that I would actually say that because we really came out of the gate during COVID that we had any sort of interruptions or challenges as a result of it. If that sounds fair.
No, I mean, hey, it sounds like, you know, the shutdown and the switch to remote work sort of played into your head.
That's right.
And that it made, anything that makes a team more efficient, especially when they're not in the same room to go looking for that piece of paper and that invoice, it's just a no-brainer. It makes total sense.
Yeah, I will say, and sort of to your work a little bit, but I will say that the one challenge for all of us, Datablund's no different than anybody else, is, when people work from home, it's harder to sort of get them to pick up the phone, right? And there's still, a fair amount of, I'll say, sort of outbound work that, marketing is a mix, right? And lead gen is a mix of different activities. And as much as we'd all love to just sort of have inbound happening, you still need to do some outreach. And so that part, I will say, Andrew, we found to be rather difficult because, there's nobody at the switchboard, that's answering the phone. And even if you have their extension, chances are that they're not there either. So that part has been interesting. But, I don't think that's word unique in any regard there.
Well, it kind of feeds into my next question, which is, what role has content played in the growth of your business? When we're having this sort of remote world, content is that fiber that has to fill in the gaps. So,
yeah, so we are incredibly lucky. You happen to know one of my colleagues, Kate Johnson, and Kate has really leaned into having a steady sort of cadence of content creation from the outset. Kate didn't join us until, I'm going to say, the middle of 2022, give or take. But works really hard to be creative from a content perspective. And sometimes even just sort of sharing a point of view about an article that maybe she's read. But to sort of give you a sense, and our main platform, has been LinkedIn, right? It's kind of where our audience is going to play. We had about 100 followers on LinkedIn when I started, and today we're approaching 3,500. And not only followers, but the number of impressions, Andrew, the number of clicks. And again, that's all a result of content, right? It's not just a random post. It's a post with meaningful content, and I think it does speak to the fact that we're producing content that's worthwhile, so that we are getting that following. And what's been really encouraging to us is that we haven't seen a drop off, right? So we were just sort of seeing a steady increase. Which means that I think we're doing the right kind of work. Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's look a year down the road. What are some things you'd like to be celebrating personally and professionally?
I consider myself to be incredibly grateful on both a professional and a personal front. And so I'll take where I am right now. If things are as good to a year from now as they are today, I'll be incredibly happy, honestly, Andrew. On the work front, really would love to continue to see the growth, to see our employees feel enriched by the work that they're doing, to keep the, we've been incredibly fortunate to have almost no voluntary turnover. We've created a nice environment. And so hopefully, as we grow through some of the partnerships that we've established, that should really provide some strong tailwinds for us to be able to do that, folks here still continue to feel as strongly about each other and the company as they do. I think that if again, a year from now, if we're there, our customers will be happy, we'll be growing. As the CEO and the steward of our employees and our culture, that make me, wildly happy.
Well, I appreciate your gratitude. I have to say you're the first person I've ever asked that question who answered that status quo would be fine with them personally a year from today. So that's fabulous.
Yeah. I don't want to say, that there's aren't to growth opportunities, all those kinds of good things, but you know, I have a little magnet that sits in front of my kitchen sink and it says, make every day count. And it's a really good reminder. And years ago I was listening to an interview actually on NPR, and there was a group of women who I think were, you know, in their 40s, and they were doing a story about kind of what's the best stage of life, you know, and they were sort of reflecting back on, like, you know, if you could be any age. And I sort of immediately realized that, you know, today, like, I mean, your answer, you want to live your life so that the answer is today, right? Especially.
Hey, the most valuable commodity any of us have is time, and most people don't tend to appreciate it till it is fleeting, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
I appreciate your sentiment. 100, you're preaching to the choir, as they say. So please tell us, what's your URL? Where can people find DataBlend, and what social media outlets are you using these days as well?
Well, thank you very much. The URL is very simple. It's DataBlend, DataBlend.com. You know, the most important, as I mentioned earlier, social media outlet that we're using is on LinkedIn. And if you're interested in the topic, we'd love to have you follow us.
David Firth at DataBlend, thank you for spending some time with us on Business Ninjas today. All the best to you and yours, and continued success at DataBlend.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you having me, Andrew.
My pleasure. Be well.
Hey, are you a business ninja? Want to be interviewed like this? Give us a shout. Go to www.writeforme.io, WRITEFORME.io, and schedule a time to meet with us, and we'll make it happen. Keep slaying it, y'all.